The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Come on, Steve. Really? If you're doing this again, we're going to do this again. We're going to sit here and listen to another person talking about running for the Wake County School Board. Are you really going to do this again? Yes. I'm going to do this again, and then I'm going to do it again, and then I'm going to do it again, and then I'm going to go back through a bunch of these folks as we get into October and then November. And you just wait if you want to do something really fun. The week before the election, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, I'll have people calling in at various levels, not just Wake County School Board, which is here in my backyard, but statewide races, all kinds of stuff. And then the day before and the day of even, I'll probably have people, a ton of people call in running for office that they'll have their like last 2 minutes in the spotlight here on the show to just, hey, come out and vote for me. I'm in this area. And then it's up to you. But the problem here, and I mentioned this, whether we're talking to candidates or whatever we happen to be discussing, is I try to bring you knowledge and understanding of what's going on out there. But with knowledge comes responsibility. Then the question is on you. What are you going to do with that? Now, in this case, and you might have seen this story just broke in the last day or two down in Florida, they completely flipped an uber liberal school board and completely flipped it into the conservative category. Now, this is happening, and we've talked about this time and time again, starting a couple years ago with Loudoun County. If you don't know what Loudoun County is, you should. Loudoun County, Virginia, where when COVID hits and all these, everybody goes online, and all of a sudden parents are getting a behind the scenes look at what's happening in their schools and with the education for their children, whether it be kindergarten, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, middle school, high school, whatever the case may be. And for a lot of us, that was eye-opening. And then you start questioning, what are they teaching? How are they teaching? And not necessarily a great view all the time, because most teachers aren't ready to go flip the switch like in a day and go online. But now you're getting exposed to curriculum. Then in Loudoun County, parents start showing up at the school board meetings. And of course, we know how the Biden administration responded to that. And you guys are the enemy as opposed to being the bosses. And the next thing you know, we have people all over the country and also here right in the Raleigh area, coming out of kind of normal life and saying, I have to do something. And so we've had a bunch of them come into the show, into the studio, and we're doing that. Once again today, Cheryl Caulfield is here in the studio. She's running for District 1 here in Wake County, North Carolina, which is, how would you describe that? Because our districts, we have a massive school system. For those of you not in the area, we have one of the biggest school systems in the nation. You would think that's not the deal because Raleigh's just a number 40 market, but we have a massive school system. So when you say District 1,
right,
it's not like it's a neighborhood.
No.
So what all?
Definitely not.
Thanks for coming in. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So what does District 1 cover for those of us in the area that know?
So we are the 15th largest in the nation.
Wow.
We are the size of New Hampshire. So yeah, we are pretty big.
That's crazy.
We have 9 districts, and this is very unique. Like you said, in this 1 year, they are going to have all 9 seats available, which is not going to happen again. And it's just happenstance how it did happen. But all 9 are up right now. Wake Forest is, for District 1, is Wake Forest, Roseville, Zebulon, Nightdale, Wendell.
Yeah.
It's
Which
quite,
is kind
it's,
of the whole eastern
yeah,
quadrant.
Right? the whole
Raleigh
northeastern
area.
Part of Wake County.
Yeah.
So that's, I do split the northern part of Nightdale is with District 4.
Right.
And District 1, I mean, sorry, Wake Forest is also splits a little bit with District 3. They did just redistrict everybody in the spring. So it's a little wonky.
Yeah, it's been wonky all over the state for a while now when it comes to redistricting and that all the way down to the school board level.
Yeah.
And this year, as you mentioned, all seats are up. That won't happen again because seats are now going on a different term length.
Yes. So I will be 4 years. Some of us will be on a 4-year term and some of us will be on a 2-year term.
Yes.
And then at that 2-year expiration, then they'll flip to 4.
Got it.
So it'll be staggered from here on out.
But an incredible opportunity because our school board is very liberal.
Yes.
Some of them don't identify as such, but in terms of how they've run the system, obviously very liberal. I'm pretty sure when you were a 15-year-old girl that you weren't dreaming about being a school board member one day.
Definitely not.
So take us on this journey. Just tell us about kind of where you grew up, because there's a hint in your voice that you're not from the South.
I am not from the South.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up on Long Island, all the way out east, basically out by the Hamptons,
okay,
which would be the closest point that everybody could refer to. So basically 15 to 20 minutes on North Shore or South Shore by the beach.
Yeah, way out there.
Yeah, way out.
My aunt and uncle lived in the same exact house in Syosset for 42
okay.
years.
I was not far from that.
So I'm familiar with that. Yeah. So why do you go from Long Island, Long Island, however people want to say it, all the way down to Raleigh?
So I came down to Raleigh 16 years ago to start our family down here because where I grew up, it was exactly like it is in Wake Forest right now, although we are building quite a bit
yeah.
in Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah.
But that's exactly what it was like. I have friends that had moved down here and family, and as we came down to visit, we realized that everybody from the city just kept coming out, and it was not the same thing anymore. I didn't want to raise my kids like that.
Yeah.
So I came out here for a little bit of space, a little bit of peace and quiet, and a lot of greenery.
Yeah, and that still is Wake Forest to
yes.
a certain extent.
Yes, it is.
But obviously, Heritage High School, that whole Heritage area all kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, the little bedroom community that it used to be. But it's still kind of quaint. It's still downtown Wake Forest. It's very charming.
Yes.
And your kids have been in the public school system.
They have for the past 11 years. They are both in high school. I have a sophomore and a junior.
Okay. So you're in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you to a certain extent, you'll be speaking from your own experience because I know you volunteered and stuff. Have you been like is politics new to you? Did you kind of pay attention to it before? Some people are like, yeah, I would vote, but I didn't really pay much attention. What's kind of your political side of you?
So I am guilty of only coming around every 4 years.
Yeah.
Checking out, okay, who am I going to vote for, you know, the 2 months prior to, and just checking out who's actually there.
Pretty normal.
Pretty guilty of that until, you know, all the apartments and everything started going up in Wake Forest. I started trying to pay attention to mm-hmm. who I could speak to and reach out to. And at that point is when I started getting into how important local politics were and how much it really mattered. As far as getting into the school board, that
yeah.
is not something that I ever would have thought I would have been into. I mean, I heavily volunteered ever since my kids were in preschool. I was always working in the classroom as much as I could.
Why did you do that?
I just love being around kids. You know, they're really it's very inspiring hearing, you know, their little world
yeah.
and how they view the world. It just kind of keeps everything in a better place. And I love the teachers. I mean, they really have such an important role in our community.
Yeah.
They really do. They're frontline for us. And I mean, it's amazing to listen to all the things that the kids do in the classroom and everything, and I loved helping the teachers out.
Yeah, and I think that personal experience, and that's something I've reminded people a few times on when we've had people running for school board, is it's easy to look at the whole system and assume every teacher actually is your enemy, and every teacher's actually out there to turn your kid into some kind of uber-liberal whatever. That's not always the case, and you have to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're talking... Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with Cheryl Caulfield. She's running for District 1 in the Wake County School Board race here in the Raleigh area, Wake County, which is enormous. One of the biggest school systems in the country. Where do we rank, Cheryl?
Number 15.
Number 15 in the country. We're in number 40 market, by the way. The Triangle area, Raleigh. Number 40 in terms of market size, but number 15 in terms of school board size. So it is a massive, massive school system. We've had massive growth. We still are. So there's all kinds of logistical challenges with that. But then when you get into curriculum and budget and everything else. And as we know, there's a lot of things going on in the public school system that for a lot of us are quite troubling, to say the least. And so we're trying to have as many different school board candidates coming in and sharing their vision and why they got involved. The one thing that they all have in common is none of them were looking forward to this. Wasn't like on the radar screen. They weren't thinking about this 10 years ago. They didn't have some lifelong desire to be on the school board. But things that evolved, especially over the last couple years, led to it. And we're going to get to that part of Cheryl's story. Cheryl4WakeSchools.com is her website. Cheryl, the number 4. Cheryl4WakeSchools.com, where she's got more of her background and her position on various issues, which we're going to talk about. But just in terms of getting into the system, and we were talking off the air during the break. And if you're like, you were? Yes. If you're on radio and you want to know what we're talking about during the break, then you have to go to Facebook Live or YouTube Live and you can catch that. But we were talking about, you know, you volunteering and helping a lot and just being around that environment, especially when kids are younger, really fun, energetic, and really neat, almost kind of altruistic. You know, they're so small. It's so cute. And then as they
so
get older.
Honest.
And so honest, right? They lose that, as we all do as we get older. And then I asked, was there kind of a mama bear thing there? Because you're like, okay, what's actually happening? I don't think most people are thinking that. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade.
No.
More people than not are thinking it today. And then you just talked about the challenges that teachers have, which I appreciate. And I brought up my niece, Claire. Now, mm-hmm. she works in the school system, inner city Philadelphia. And my daughter the other day shared with our family group text chat an Amazon page to help Claire with her classroom via Amazon. And I'm like, oh, no. Are we talking about just like basic supplies? And it was colored pencils, regular pencils, little caddies to hold stuff, just basic school supplies that she doesn't have.
Right. And that she would have to go out and get.
She'd have to go and buy them on her own.
Yeah.
And she doesn't make a ton of money as a teacher. And so, again, this is just a cautionary tale that I have serious problems with the school system, especially the Department of Education. And as we come down into North Carolina, the leadership. But once you get down to the teacher level, you really have to be careful not to paint with such a broad brush, because there's plenty of teachers in there that really love kids and they're trying to do the right thing. They just don't have a lot of control over curriculum, which we're talking about. But what kind of, over the last few years, kind of drove you from volunteer and caring and you care about your community to, I think I might run for school board?
So just a brief thing with the school
sure.
supplies. We had actually spoken to the Department of Instruction, and they said that the teachers actually get a certain amount of funds towards school supplies. It's $300 for each teacher. But it goes to the principal, so it goes to that school. And depending on how the school divvies it up, some of the teachers I've spoken to didn't even know that even existed.
Wow.
They didn't even know that they got that. So it could go to a supply room
yeah.
where they would have like, you know, paper and construction paper and pencils and certain things like that they may need, but certainly not enough that they need in the classroom.
Yeah.
And
there's a program that started in Dallas years ago. There's a pastor down there named Tony Evans. It's called Adopt a School. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, they went down there as the church and started going to the local schools that were really just in shambles, especially inner city. And they just showed up and say, hey, we're a big local church. How can we help you guys?
That's nice.
We're not here if you come to our church, you come to our property, we're going to talk to you about Jesus. But we realize when we come to your property that we have to play by a different set of rules. Well, we honor that. But how can we help you? And that's what started Adopt a School. And at one point, this is probably about 10 years ago, Cheryl, here in Wake County, Crossroads Fellowship got involved, Bailey Baptist Church, a few other churches, and would adopt a school, basically just go talk to the principal and teachers. And they're talking about just basic things that they need help with. A little tutoring here and there. They'd go in and make them lunch before the school year started, go in and paint, go in and do landscaping. And it was pretty regular occurrence that teachers would be reduced to tears because people came in and just helped them.
And teachers want the help.
They want the help. And at that point, the Wake County the school board, this is 10 or 12 years ago, said, okay, do you guys have enough churches to adopt all 158 schools or what it was at the time? Because for them, it was a way to kind of outsource that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, there are massive problems in there that we have to be involved in, not just curriculum.
And parents are a free resource.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they go in. I sat out in the hallway, and she would give me like one student, you know, for this hour, another student for another hour. And we would sit there and work on either their multiplication or their reading and phonics and just kind of going over whatever it
yeah.
was that they needed. And I mean, to this day, I still see people in the grocery store or something, and they're like, hey, Mrs. C.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice that
yeah.
you really connected with those kids, you know. But they do need the help. They need the supplies. They need the resources. There was a time that I was actually, well, a couple times actually, that I was in making copies for the teachers, and I reached my limit.
Yeah.
And I went back to the class, and I'm like, I got wow. this weird, like, and they're like, oh, okay, class, we're going to share dittos today.
Wow.
So we're spending millions of dollars
right.
in textbooks, and these kids they're sharing dittos.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They can't even take it home to mom and dad and say, hey, look what I did. You know, like, oh, I got a great grade, or I figured it out, or I had a really bad day at school today, Mom. I can't figure it out, you know, because mm-hmm. they'll come back in the next day and they won't know how to go on to the next lesson.
Right.
So
yeah.
they struggle.
Yeah.
So these kids just kind of turtle up a little bit,
yeah.
you know, and it just makes it really frustrating and hard for them.
Very frustrating.
And the teachers, too.
Sure.
Because now they're like trying to backtrack and teach, you know, so and so over here didn't get it, or these five kids didn't get it. And then today we have to move on to the next lesson. They're on a time, you know, constraint with what they have to teach, too. And they can't do that. And that actually gets much worse in the higher levels.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, it gets much more difficult.
And then the parents don't get involved.
No,
because they're not volunteering anymore in high school.
Yeah. I don't know anything about biology. So you're done. And we'll talk about the budget, because that's one of the main issues that you're running and talking about. And that's on your website. But in terms of actually getting into the race, what kind of got you there?
So this is something like what we were talking about, like not having the resources and the supplies and them wearing too many hats. And I just see the difficulty with trying to keep control in the classroom with discipline and just all the things that were happening. And you weren't really getting support. And I was just in there for the hours that I was in there volunteering.
Yeah.
And then, yes, COVID did actually unveil it, but it's been going on for a while.
Sure.
And if you look at our grades over the past 10 years, it has definitely declined. And here we are as a result, you know, COVID, the parents, of course, were trying to step in and see what they can do to help. And they're on the computer. We don't have textbooks. We don't have any way of helping our children. And the teacher's not there. They can't raise their hand. Yes, they could click the button on the computer.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, I've sat there on the computer with my kid while he was melting down on the floor because he couldn't figure it out.
Right.
And here I am talking to the teacher. And, you know, you have to hit a button to raise your hand.
Sure.
And wait for her to call it. So it was very difficult. And I just wasn't – I didn't feel we were getting the support that we needed. And the more I asked questions, the more I felt like I was being shunned, that it was like I was one of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
You're one of these troublesome
God forbid
parents.
You want to help your kid out.
Right. Perhaps a domestic terrorist. But
yeah. But we have scores of 79% not proficient in Math 1, which is high school math. And 50% not proficient in reading. So by the time you get to third grade, your reading, it starts to really get pretty important on how you're going to continue your educational career, they call it.
Yeah,
but
the graduation rate still stays pretty
90%.
High.
90%. They pat themselves on the back with that, with a 79% not proficient rate.
We'll get you out. You're just not going to leave with much.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a problem.
It
so that's why we have to
problem.
Get involved. We're talking to Cheryl Caulfield, District 1. She's running for Cheryl for wakeschools.com. We're going to dive into some of these specific issues. We'll talk about curriculum. You mentioned textbooks. Like, that sounds so old-fashioned, but there's a great angle on that I want to talk about. Supporting our teachers, all kinds of stuff when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. By the way, if you missed the show ever, we're on all the big podcast platforms. Okay, so whether you want to go to Google Play or you go to Spotify, or you go to iHeartRadio, you go to Apple, whatever. We're on all of those. Plus, you can catch the show and a little bit more, obviously, than the regular radio show or the podcast on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page there. And if you just like do school board, if you're here in Wake County, you do school board, you go to my website, thestevenobleshow.com, and just go to the search box and hit school board. You're going to find every interview I've done with the various candidates that have come into the studio, and I'll continue to bring more and more candidates in as we get up to November in the actual election. Today, Cheryl Caulfield is here in the house. She's running for District 1 in the Wake County School Board. That's East Raleigh, Northeast Raleigh, Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon, kind of that whole upper Northeast quadrant.
Wake Forest.
It's Wake Forest, such a massive area. She has two teen boys in the public school system in high school herself, so she's been volunteering and been involved for a long time, but there comes a time to kind of go from that to actually running. So were there a couple big things, then I want to get into the individual issues you have on your website, but a couple of big things that you're like, okay, now I actually have to run for office.
I was getting very frustrated that we weren't getting anywhere. And I had to go out. I got some family help, and we went to a mathnasium program because we just weren't.
Yeah.
We were barely even making the 60, which is the high standards that they have for passing and being proficient.
So they'll pass you with a 60.
They'll pass you with a 60. And if you don't make it, they'll probably give you a little push. Little extra something to get you there.
Well, at least that keeps the graduation numbers up. No, that's the system.
Exactly. It's the system. And, you know, it's frustrating for the teachers, too, because by the time they get to the next level, they're not prepared.
Right.
And the teachers are trying to teach them the next level, and the kids are just not getting it.
Oh, man.
So it's frustrating the teachers as well.
And so was that kind of it? Because you dealt with that yourself. And then you talked about this earlier, and everybody that's come in has talked about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the Wake County School Board has these open meetings and you can go in and share. But they might as well be sitting there playing Tetris on their phones because there's no interaction.
Yeah.
You can't ask them questions. They just pretend to listen and off you go. You're three minutes.
I felt like we were being bullied. You know,
yeah.
We were being taken advantage of and we were being called names like domestic terrorists. I can't believe that anybody would call you a domestic terrorist, which is really pretty harsh if you think about what that really means.
Oh, wicked.
Because you're trying to take care of your children. This is all about the children. Whether you're talking about, you know, the support for the teachers or the financial responsibility or whatever it is, it's all about the goal is the students.
It should be. That's
it's
right.
It's our children. And so once they started pushing a little too far that you had absolutely no control over your children, and when they say that, It's not, you're not trying to control your child. You're trying to help with their education so that they can go out into the world and be a productive citizen. They could reach their dreams. I always told my kids, reach for the stars. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, that's right.
They can't do that if you're squishing them in a little box and you're telling them what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot think. And I just really was getting super frustrated. Yeah. So I joked about it. My husband said, well, why don't you run? I said, oh, my gosh, they would never let me on the board. Are you kidding? And here I am.
Why would you say they would never let you on the board?
I just think because I speak the truth and I kind of call out for
call
what
out
it
things.
Is. And yes.
Oh, Cheryl.
So
golly.
Golly.
Okay, let's work our way through. You've got kind of six main issues on your website. If you want to check out Cheryl's website, it's cheryl4wakeschools.com. That's C-H-E-R-Y-L. Cheryl 4, the number 4. cheryl4wakeschools.com. Curriculum. This is a big deal. Depending on which direction you can come at it from a nuts and bolts curriculum, is this actually, are we raising these children up so that they have the basic nuts and bolts education they need to go out into the world? We can talk about worldview stuff. We can talk about socialization. We can talk about CRT or in terms of sexualization, gender theory, all kinds of stuff. But when you talk about curriculum, kind of unpack that for us.
You know, I think that we really need to pay attention to the grades and not so much like the scores. I think it is a reflection. Like the EOGs were never meant to measure the student or the teacher for that matter. It was meant to measure the program and to see if the curriculum was working for the kids. And it's not. I mean, from the scores that we have, 79% not proficient for math 1.
Golly.
That's high school math.
Yeah.
And you're about to send them off in just a few short years into society, and you're saying that you have a 90% graduation rate, but how can you have a 90% graduation rate when you have 79% of them are not proficient in math?
Hello.
And that's only 60%,
right?
So it's such a small amount of what they actually have. And
you're right.
It's just it's really frustrating to see them stand up there week after week and or every other week. And, you know, I mean, they're talking about things for hours at the school board meeting. And, you know, it's lovely that, you know, they're talking about certain things that are happening in individual schools. But we really need to there's so much that we need to cover. And I think that we are not paying attention to the fundamentals, the building blocks to get these kids what they need.
And you can see that as a child moves from one grade to the next. Because if you're deficient in fourth grade, it's going to get worse in fifth, worse in sixth.
Right.
There's a cumulative effect.
By the time they get to high school, they are they're like so far gone and frustrated.
Oh, very.
So we wonder why they're depressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't we be if we were constantly being set up to fail?
Yeah. You know? Right next to curriculum on your website, we're talking to Cheryl Caulfield, cheryl4wakeschools.com. So you have curriculum, then you have parent involvement and transparency. I think that's one of the things that really came out of COVID, Loudoun County, and then all over the country, is a lot of parents just didn't know what was going on inside the school system. They assume reading, writing, arithmetic.
Right.
But there's a whole lot more going on than that.
There is. And they also feel helpless because they can't help their child who's suffering. You know, they are sending them off to the classroom, and they are very hopeful that the teacher can teach them everything that they need to know. But now, right now, our teachers are wearing so many hats, so many jobs. They're playing nurse. They're, you know, filling out surveys. If the kids don't fill out surveys, so much, like, administrative stuff that they're throwing at them. And new programs, they're flip-flopping back and forth. That's a big problem. And discipline. I mean, that is a huge problem.
Well, like school resource officers.
Yes.
Like everybody gets – we have a Uvalde, and everybody – we go ballistic about school safety. And then from the Biden administration, you go, okay, well, let's spend $87 billion and hire 80,000 more IRS agents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, couldn't you take $87 billion and like shore up the security of pretty much every school in America?
Yeah.
You could. So I say we're concerned but don't really do anything about it. But like school resource officers –
yes.
I'm sorry. We live in a messed up, fallen world.
We do.
Why wouldn't you have some security at a school?
And not for that, we did a couple of safety school safety meetings and forums. And it was actually really good. We had great input from the community, too. And even some suggestions where you brought up before with the parents coming into the schools. There is an organization that the dads actually come in and they stand in the hallways and they just kind of hall monitor. They have free time. They volunteer.
I can't remember the name of that. That made it like to Fox News and a bunch of other places.
Yes.
I think there were African-American dads kind of in inner city. They had all kinds of issues. And the dads just go in there with stupid dad jokes. Yep. But just their presence.
They just go in, stand in there.
And everything changed.
Yep, and it does. It really does. And, I mean, we know in high school there are certain bathrooms that you can, you know, do this. And certain bathrooms you could do that. We can't expect our teachers to do all of that. We want them to be able to teach. They know how to teach. We have to let them do their job.
Yeah, that's why they need the support in there. Discipline, safety. Yes. I mean, that's all on the table.
They are. I mean, my kids come home with certain things that I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, these poor teachers, they're like throwing things across the classroom. You know, somebody picked up the teacher's cell phone and started, you know, trying to get in to her login and play music, and it's just, it's awful.
Yeah,
it should not be in that.
It sounds like mayhem.
Situation. It is.
One of our kids has spent some time in the public school system. We homeschooled pretty much all the time. But it was amazing and to hear the stories of just kind of this out of control environment in not every classroom, but a lot of classrooms.
No.
This is at the high school level.
And then, if it just happened one day or a couple of days and it just threw that lesson off. And
at first I'm thinking, what's the problem with these teachers? But if that's what you're facing every day, there's so many moving parts in that.
Yeah.
Broken families, lack of fathers, all that stuff. And it all shows up in your classroom. I could imagine there'd be a lot of teachers that'd be like, listen, man, I'm just trying to get through the day.
They are. They're drained.
And you can't. You just run out of energy to keep fighting and fighting. We talked about materials and stuff. You brought this up earlier, but what about the budget? It's not like we lack funding.
We do not lack funding. We have $2.1 billion, and they have asked for another few million more. I think it's like $56 million more. But we have a lot of money in there. And if you look at the actual financials and you go through it, we have like over 80 administrators making over $100,000. Our superintendent is one of the highest paid in the nation. And it's not that she shouldn't be getting paid
a
decent salary.
Make?
325.
Pretty good work if you can make
$28,000 now.
But 100 people in administration or 80 people in administration
making
over 100.
Making over 100. And that's not including all the people that sit right at the 99 level either.
Right.
You know, we have
slightly
a lot of administrators. I can tell you the teachers are not at the top of that list.
No,
they're
of course.
The very bottom with the janitors and the bus drivers. So dealing with all of that, giving them all this responsibility and them having that hard time each day, day in and day out. I'm speaking to teachers that either 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, and 18 years in the field.
In the field.
And they left. And they said it's nothing to do with the children, the parents, or the schools even. They love working with all the other teachers that they work with. It's the administration not getting help, all the stuff they're dealing with, and they just can't do it anymore.
Do we have a teacher shortage in Wake County? That's showing up all over the country right now.
We do. We definitely have a lot of people, a lot of positions open that we need to fill, and that's going to affect our classes.
Oh, of course it is, and which is going to make matters worse, which is why you need new leadership. This is an opportunity in Wake County to literally take it over, take it back from people that are running it into the ground. How do you not get involved with that? Good luck answering the Lord on that one, because your kids around the neighborhood, they're your neighbors as well. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about, here's stuff going on in our own backyard if you live in the Wake County area or here in Raleigh, North Carolina. But that's Raleigh, Wake Forest, Cary, Apex, Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon. It's a big area. And our school board reflects that. This is Cheryl Caulfield is here with me in the studio today. She's running for District 1, which is kind of Northeast Raleigh, Wake Forest, Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon, that whole area. 15th biggest Wake school system in the nation. The size of what?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. It's an enormous school system. And when you drive around, if you drive around in the area, you're like, wow, there's a lot of schools coming up. Because how many schools do we have right now? Is it like 190 or something?
192. I think we just did two more, so 194.
Yeah, and it just continues to go up and up and up. And so we were talking on the break, and Cheryl mentioned how many people in the bureaucracy, the administrators, make six figures, which is what, like 90, 80, 90?
There is over, 80.
And then you got people making just below that. So there's a whole lot of money at the top. This whole thing's topsy-turvy.
Yep.
It's all top-heavy. Bureaucracy, leadership, administration, you run the Wake County school system. That's a cool $350,000 a year. But to get down to the school, to the teachers, I don't know that most of us know how much a teacher makes.
Well, so part of it does actually come from the funding, and then the other part comes from the county. And what, so it's like supplemental pay.
Uh-huh.
So you can have a teacher that is, depending on their hours and what they're doing, as low as 23, but most of them are around the 40 range. And there is very, very few that are above the 70 range.
Yeah.
Very few, if they're even at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually around the 40, 50 range.
Yeah, so this, you're not in it to make a bunch of money.
Mm-mm.
And they go in there. And most teachers that go to education, I mean, I've found in my life, because I have 157 students right now.
Right.
And I have a bunch of students every year. I've been teaching for 10 years, all high school age, homeschoolers. And the ones that say, I want to go into education, you usually, I'm like, that doesn't surprise me. Because they generally come across to me as kind of kind-hearted.
They want to make a difference.
They're altruistic. They want to make a difference. They love children. I'm like, that's awesome. But to get in there and now you're, unless you have a dual income, you're really going to, that's not an easy life.
Yes.
At 45 grand a year.
And not only that, you have to take into consideration their time.
Yeah.
Because they're also doing training.
Massive.
On their own time. They're also doing lesson planning. And yes, they do have like teacher work days, but that is not everything.
Whoop-de-doo.
That they need. Right.
Oh, everything's fine now.
Yes.
The last three things on your website in terms of issues, special education, follow-up, which you mentioned, outcome-based results, and then support our teachers, which that's kind of been, I would say that's the thread that's gone through pretty much everything
that's
you've
pretty
said.
Pretty much goes through every category.
It's supporting our teachers. Yeah. But special education, Wing Ng was on recently. One of his daughters is a special needs daughter.
Yes.
Speak to that, because most of us can't relate to it because most of us don't have that in our lives.
So in order for you to get special education, we have ESSER funds and certain funds that are specifically meant for children with special needs. And that could be anything from a learning disability, ADHD, you know, in Wing's case, I think it was Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
like all different spectrums of help that you might need. And they're supposed to be able to give you a program based on what your child needs. During COVID, the children did not receive what they needed. So they're actually floundering even more than
even
the rest.
More.
Yes.
Wow.
So they're not only are they not up to the speed where they need to be, they were not getting the tools and everything that they needed because everything was remote. Everything was online. There was no teachers there. There was nobody for them to sit down and
right.
and help them with this. So it's usually you get an IEP or a 504 plan to help your child in the classroom, and it kind of guides what the child needs specifically for them to thrive. And I could tell you it's pretty hard to get.
Yeah.
It's not easy. You can't just walk in and say, hey, can I have a 504 and IEP? They have to approve you and tell you whether you can have one or not.
Yeah, because Wing talked about like the interview process and things like that mm-hmm. that he thought was really unfair.
Yes.
And one of the things about this, and I want to talk about follow-up, is and we might just spend the rest of the last 6 minutes of the show, 7 minutes of the show talking about this. When you start unfolding all this stuff, my reaction is, this is such a colossal mess. There are so many problems.
It's like peeling all the layers off the onion.
I'm like, is this even fixable? So how do you approach it? Let's say that people like yourself and some others that are conservative-minded take over the Wake County school system. What becomes your priorities? Because there's like so many things. But how do you decide what to work on first?
Well, first, I think we need to start working from the bottom up. We need to start listening to the teachers and the kids, obviously. But we need to ask the teachers. They're frontline. They're in the classroom with these
yeah.
kids. They know how to teach. They're just, their hands are tied. They can't do it the way they want to. The curriculum keeps changing on them. They're being told what to teach and how to teach it. So if we can give them the support by finding out first what is they need. What do you think is going to be most successful in the classroom? What worked for us in the past? Like 15 years ago, we were in the top of the nation on that list. And now we're at the bottom. So over the last decade, we completely plummeted. So this is a change of curriculum. We had our Common Core math, which is also MVP. It's the same thing. It's just wrapped in a different name. And now, you know, like Open Up Resources is the funder of all of this. This is where this is all coming from. And the same thing with our reading, our EL program. It's also from Open Up Resources. So we need to
And Open Up Resources is what?
It's the program that the people who write the program and actually kind of sell it to you. I'm not going to say sell it to you, but that's they tell you, look, we're going to use this program
yeah.
now. And right now, I think it's either Utah or Ohio. I think it's Utah and us. We're the only two people that are using it. Everybody else gave up on it. So, and it shows in our grades. It shows in our grades how bad it is.
So there's some pretty – you and I were talking about the use of the word evil in terms of the players from curriculum and the top down. People like Bill Gates is all up inside the education system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that – now, listen, for me as a Christian with a Christian worldview, I know there's people that do evil things that don't quite know that they're being used by forces of spiritual darkness. They don't get it. They think – and sometimes they think they're helping. But their minds can be so messed up that they think they're doing a good thing, but it's actually a horrible thing. I can't judge that person's intent, but I sure can judge what they're doing. And people like Bill Gates and that kind of system that's out there, I'm comfortable using the word evil because of the effect it has on children.
It's definitely affecting our children. I mean, when we see results like that, and you have parents, I mean, just how many people came to the school board beforehand?
Yeah.
And how many people are coming now? And they limit how many people can come in. So when you see those 20 people or 18 people that are standing up, it's because they won the lotto.
Wow.
To go and speak to you for 3 minutes while they're sitting there for 3 hours talking and, you know, about all whatever the subject is that week. And you get 3 minutes to beg and plead with them.
So just,
you know, about what it is that you need.
Make your case. But you're not really making your case, because in a court of law, you actually hear evidence.
No.
And you have a back and forth. And then you come to a conclusion. That's not what happens.
Right. So I did start speaking in front of the board now because I want the public to hear that this is what's going on. Because I think everybody's just busy. Soccer, football.
Sure,
you know,
all that stuff.
One thing is a lot of kids, a lot of people say to me, oh, I'm so glad that my kids are out of the school system. I'm like, okay. So if we look at it as if your kids are either out of the school system because they're older now and they've moved on, or you don't have kids in the school system yet, all of these kids that are in the school system now and in the future, they're going to be your community.
Right.
They're
that's
going
right.
to be your bankers, your lawyers. They're going to be your lawmakers. They are going to determine directly how you are going to live in your community. So we all have a personal investment.
Oh, you got a big stake in that.
Going on
and then my question for people like that is I'm going to ask them flat out, are you a Christian? And if they say yes, I don't even know what depth they're at when you say that, because 68% of Americans will answer that question in the affirmative. I'll say, okay, do you know anything about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? And what about the whole notion of your neighbor? This is what I've always said, because when I used to tangle with the Wake County Public School System, which I did a lot, 04, 05, 06, 07, we brought all the crazy stuff that was in the reading materials that I could not read on this show right now, because I'd get spanked by the FCC. I'd get $250,000 fine if I read some of the books that are sitting in Wake County Public Schools at the middle school level. We were doing that stuff in 05 and 06, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the media would invariably come after me and come after us, a call to action. Well, Mr. Noble, where do your kids go to school? Because they knew we were homeschoolers. I'd say, my kids are homeschooled. Well, what do you care? I said, well, do you want my constitutional answer or my Christian answer? I'll give you both. My constitutional answer is I pay local taxes. And so some of those taxes get spent in the school. Where my money goes, my opinion goes, and my involvement goes. There you go. There's my constitutional answer. Here's my Christian answer. Love your neighbor as yourself. It does not matter whether my kids are there or whether I have kids at all or whether my kids are grown. Other people's kids are there.
Right.
And I should love and care for them. It's a community.
Yes.
And that's a no-brainer. So you have to be
involved. We should all be lifting each other up.
So listen to teachers. Real quick, what would be another priority that you would want to see happen on the school board as soon as you get in there? So listen to the teachers. Go to the front lines.
We need a definite different structure. The way that we're doing it, we're working from the top down. We need to work from the bottom up. Right now we're doing surveys, but they cherry pick. They kind of send to different groups of people and they come back with the data that they want. I mean, I sat in for a BOC meeting and we went through and they asked all these questions and then the people got to ask the questions, which I thought was great. But then I said, how come I only see like there's 20 people in one group, 60 in another and 16 in another? And they said, well, it's broken down into community people, parents, and teachers or school board, school members. And I said, well, when do you put all that together so that you actually get a full picture of
representative?
Everybody?
Right.
I said, well, we don't really have a way of breaking that down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're fixing the poll results.
Right.
It's like, hey, this poll says that 75% of people want Joe Biden to run again.
Yes.
Forget what you think of Joe Biden. I'm just like, all right, who did you poll? Well, mostly Democrats.
Yep.
Okay, that's not telling you anything about the whole country.
And the other thing with doing that survey is you're logged in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're a student or if you're a teacher. And the teachers have said this to me. They've actually had administrators come back to them and say, so we hear that you're unhappy with such and such.
Man.
It's tied to their login. It is not anonymous. So
And there's
really
pressure there.
They are afraid to say what they need to say. Because even though you need to hear it.
You need to hear it.
Yes.
And so you're underpaid and you're struggling to get by. The last thing you want to do is lose your job.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. When you guys, I'm just going to warn you. With all you guys and gals, you get in there and you have an opportunity to turn this around. I won't always be nice. I mean, you need accountability. I need accountability.
Absolutely.
But you got to get in there,
yep.
Which is why this conversation is so important.
Untie some hands.
That's right. Exactly right. What a great point. Cheryl, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank
it's
you
great
can
to have you. You're welcome. Cheryl for WakeSchools.com, District 1 and the Wake County School Board. If you don't know what district you're in, shame on you. Go figure that out.
It's on the website.
Cheryl for WakeSchools.com. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say,
another program powered by the Truth Network.